Welcome back to Forbidden Knowledge News. I'm your host, Chris Matthew. Tonight, my guest is Gloria Canning. Before I bring her on, just a couple of announcements. You can always get new episodes free on Rockfin, Odyssey, and all podcast platforms. Go check us out on Rockfin. This is where you get our premium content, regular shows, and best of all the amazing content from every creator on Rockfin. Check out the awesome podcasts from the Forbidden Knowledge Network. You can get them all in one place, our website, forbiddenknowledge.news. Finally, guys, I have to tell you about C60 Purple Power, which may be the most powerful antioxidant known to man. It's made from the purest and most rare materials found on Earth. So many of my subscribers and listeners have told me amazing stories about how they took back their own health with C60. Especially if you're reaching that gray hair stage in life like me. Click the link in the description. You get 10% off your order plus free shipping. Tonight I want to welcome back to the show Gloria Canning. She is a lifelong experiencer, contactee, artist, and co-host of the live talk show Open Minds and Inception podcast on the Forbidden Knowledge Network. Gloria, welcome back. How you doing?
I'm doing really, really well. Thank you for inviting me back. However, I must say I can feel a sneeze coming on. So if I knew it's going to be one of those nights. So if a sneeze comes, I may have to shoot off somewhere and come back. But there you go.
All right. Well, we'll be waiting for that sneeze. It could be a very important sneeze. It could be mystical.
It could.
Yes, a sneeze of truth. Gloria, thanks for coming on. I love talking to you. I remember whenever you first contacted me through Messenger, it was a great conversation. You threatened me to put you on our network and have you on our show, and you threatened to kill me. And it was an intense conversation. No, just kidding. We had a great conversation.
Hello. Yeah, go on.
No, it was a great conversation. We got along right off the bat. I loved your sassy attitude and your approach to everything. And I listened to your show, and we got along. And all of a sudden, we have Inception Podcast, and you have some amazing guests on there. I'm loving the work you're doing, and I want to thank you so much for joining the network and making it what it is.
Thank you. Without you, it wouldn't be out there. So thank you and Corey. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. And we've got a lot of amazing stuff coming up on the network, and I'm glad you're a part of it. So let's get into today. Gloria, last time you were on, we had a great conversation about consciousness and your understanding of the nature of reality. But today I want to get to, how did you get to that point? What's behind Gloria Canning and her mystique? And how did you get to where you are in your current path? And I know you had some amazing experiences during your life, a lot of paranormal, supernatural experiences that most people don't experience. You kind of told us, maybe touched on a little bit about some of the paranormal experiences last time, but didn't get into any details. I'd love to hear about some of the things that happened and, some of your first experiences that started to shape you.
Okay, there was about 10 questions in that one question there, Chris, all right?
Well, let's start with the first. Let's start with the earliest experiences you could remember that you can't explain, that most people don't experience.
Well, I'll bypass talking to the dead, shall I? I think I spoke on the last show, the earliest experience with what we call ET, dimensional beings, was in my mother's front room. I think I spoke about it on your show. Did I speak about them coming?
Well, you did. You gave us some little details about what happened. You spoke briefly about it, but
okay. And I can go back into that and expand upon that without. Hopefully, I don't want to bore your audience.
Oh no, of course not. And what age were you when this happened?
Oh, 12, 13. I'm not good with memory now. It's just all in the one experience. I was about 12, 13. I was at secondary school, all girls school. And the experience was I was home alone, which was normal. Mother was at work. And I was on, it was a school uniform. And I had the ironing board in front of me. And I was just ironing. I did speak in the last show that all of a sudden I became aware that everything was slowing down. So my emotions were slowing down. And I was just an observer of watching this happen with the physical body. However, I was still contained. And as the iron was going down, everything was slowing down. There was like a sensory thing. I do recall, I don't know if you've ever had gone to the dentist back in the day and you had gas and they put the mask on. Oh, before you're totally knocked unconscious, there's like a zoom, zoom, zoom. So like I can't explain the atmosphere. And it's always been like that, this atmosphere. So I became aware that time had stopped. Everything had stopped, like frozen. However, I was still active. It's the only way I can say it. At the same time, I was looking at the mother's awful wallpaper, which is enough to make anyone go off. And as I looked through the wall, it seemed like it was dematerializing in itself. It was shaking, the vroom, vroom, vroom. So this vroom, vroom, it wasn't a noise, but it was an atmosphere. And at the same time, I could see the wallpaper start to go a bit psychedelic because it was all moving. I saw the first set of black eyes, big eyes, solid. Then the second set, then the third set. And coming towards me were three beings with the most humongous black eyes. However, at that moment, it's like my consciousness, as it's always happened when these sort of contact experiences happened, whether ET or other dimensional beings, goes into a state of calmness, which is like something or somebody, or I have turned off the fight and flight mode. So I just allow it to come forward. The three of them are coming forward, and all I have to do is look into the eyes. Then there's no more until I'm sitting on my mother's red sofa, and up I get and go back to the ironing board. So experiences were like that. I was awake, it was daytime, it was conscious awareness. So I had an understanding then. Prior to that, I'd always known I was different and I didn't fit in. I don't really talk about me too much anyway. It's hard to, I had an awareness. So I wasn't surprised. I wasn't shocked at this experience. I thought every experience as a child was to do with the dead. So I was so used to interacting with dead people. Obviously, you know, later on, I found out a lot of them were other beings, that it didn't faze me. I was used to living in this paranormal time. At the same time, I had precognition, telekinesis, everything, telepathy. It was normal for me to be this weird kid that just didn't fit in anywhere, basically. So that's one of what I call the paranormal experience, the contact.
Yeah.
There's been multiple. If you want me to relate one to ET, what can I say? I've been taken in I've gone on journeys in the dream state that are not dream. You can tell the difference. I've been taken and shown the planets. It was like I was all through them years, I was being trained to be a human. I can't explain it anyway. I was shown how a murder is committed, a human to human. And I was told to watch. And it was explained to me by these beings that were there. Watch what this person does, how that goes. So it was the whole mechanism of a human concept of other, I'm better, ego, and the act of killing. So I was shown the weirdest things that any I've never known anyone else being shown these things, but I was being shown human concepts, human constructs, human rules and regulations, as if now in hindsight that I would have to comply to, if that makes sense.
Yes, that is really fascinating. Now, when it comes to these experiences, you said that they're kind of showing you how to be a human. At this point, did you have any other kind of recollection of experiences where you're being taught anything by beings or being brought into some kind of learning environment?
There's another memory. I don't know in what context, but it's been coming back recently a lot, that I've recalled, is I was above the earth with other beings, and I was being shown the earth. I was in space, so that's one. And it's hard to, there was, I don't like the word a purpose, but there was, or a mission, but I knew I'd be going there. I was doing something on this planet. So there's ones like that. There was one where they were with me, and there was always two, one on the right, one on the left. And one of the experiences, they showed me there are nine planets, but only eight are dividable by nine. And things that at the time, I had no concept what they were, but I was just being given this information. And it was at the same time when they was teaching me about astrology and astrophysics, and knowing, I just had a knowing at the time. They mentioned the moon, funny enough, and that come back recently. And I was taken to observe the moon, which is really crazy. And they said, the moon is not a planet as such, but it is liquid light. So they were telling me the components. They were telling me what its structure was made of. It wasn't solid. So I can go back to all of these multiple, like they were schooling me in the human experience, but that when I would go out into an experience more, I would see in solid form, so to speak. I would see in a polarity. I would see it as I was sort of like structured into the matrix or the dream to experience it. But I'd already been given the telepathy, all the other tools, but also awareness, even about the planets. And that the planets were mathematical, like quantum physics equations that vibrate at a certain frequency to cause not just the solid matter, but the essence and ingredients and hot, cold, light, dark, boom, and distance. It was an illusion. Now I understand it, but I was even shown that as well as a young person. Yeah.
These ET experiences seem to be pretty well pronounced as their own type of thing, aside from your experiences with dead people.
Mm-hmm.
Were there any negative ET experiences or something different from the norm of being taught or brought somewhere and shown things?
Never, ever, ever. And honestly, I can't recall. The only thing that I ever feared in my life, and it was fear, was my family environment, because I lived to survive daily, as I've mentioned before. I had to survive what was going on, and I had to survive. My experience was to survive like an animal. There was no other way. There was no holds bar with the experience. So no, that was the only thing. I always noted, though, all through all of the experiences, what one would deem negative. Obviously, I see it differently now. At the time, I was the best actress in the world. I had this love. I came in with this love. And I couldn't understand why even my response to what I was experiencing, there was nothing. It was an allowance. In hindsight, which is a bitch, it's like I'd already known that this was coming. And I think, I don't know, I'm just throwing it out there. I think I was showing all this because it was going to be such what would deem a traumatic experience for nearly 17 years of, since being birthed, that I had the tools, the coping mechanism. I had what we call the dead, the paranormal, and later on found out the ET. I had that interaction. So I was, as I was birthed in, I was already in two realities. Nothing, I was already there, even though I wasn't aware of ET, but I was already in two different realities. And so I could shift between the two realities, which was my coping mechanism for what I was experiencing in the physical form.
The more accounts I hear from contactees and experiencers and people like yourself who've had experiences at a young age makes me realize that probably a lot of these cases of what is considered mental disorders, schizophrenia, things of this nature that kids are being diagnosed with and being given prescriptions to just basically kill it. Could be a natural phenomenon that they're experiencing the other side. They're perceiving reality how it is. They're perceiving things possibly how we should perceive things.
Exactly. I mean, I was she got me diagnosed with schizophrenia. I think it was 16. I really can't recall that. Mm-hmm. I mean, all time is collapsing now into one for me. And the reason was because I was communicating. I thought it was normal to talk to dead people. So they weren't ghosts to me. Sometimes they were energy. I could feel them. But it was normal. And I was paranormal. So I had gifts that I suppose the mother, she couldn't know, scary child. So I was diagnosed with schizophrenia. And I was put on, as a child, a very heavy drug called phenobarbital, I think it was. Big dosage. And they gave me this. And of course, being psychic and being who I was, I went loopy-loo for a while because they were chemically trying to control. But it was my truth, but it wasn't accepted in them days. And I have my own theory, and I don't know if it's true or not. It's just something when I use a bit of discernment. Because my brother had it. I remember my brother telling me about talking to ET, and I was 21, and I said, "You're mad," because it wasn't in my reality. Dead people, yes, but you're mad. I'm not mad. You're mad, yeah. And he was getting information, scientific, everything. And I believe that there are children that are walking in two realities like I did. They've come in for a reason. There's a reason where I'm here. Not that it's always known. And what happens is when society doesn't accept it and they diagnose them and label that identity that is programmed to take on a belief system to have a human experience, then what happens, you have the level of, it's not schizophrenia, it's like a dual reality experiencing other beings. Once the label goes on and the medication goes in, they're programmed, you are crazy, you have this wrong with you. And then it's like a Stockholm syndrome, a coercion, you know, gaslighting, whatever you want to call it. Then the hallucinations can follow because the frequency is being interfered with chemical drugs. So So that's just I'm not a scientist, it's just my theory. Working around people in my career with mental health and those with children that see beings as well. So I think that's possibly what's going on. It's
Well, when did you come to an understanding that you shouldn't be on these drugs that they're giving you, and this is not something that's wrong with you, it's a natural phenomenon?
because I found that I started to change. Not only did I spend half my time like a zombie, I mean, laying on the sofa, I couldn't function, I couldn't eat, I was like zombie, but I noticed an energy in me that had never been there before, and it was aggression. This aggression was coming up. Something, some awareness said to, and I remember one day, it was a close friend of mine, she said something, and I switched, and I remember I was going to hit her, which was a first, because I'm not, it wasn't me. And I stopped, and I just had an awareness. Get off the drugs, don't tell them, don't tell anyone, off the drugs. And it was like this, I knew the psychic, what I called the psychic side of me with the gifts, I knew that I was stronger than what this reality was telling me. And I knew I'd been prepared for this, and that I had to experience this, and I had to experience being dumbed down with the drugs. I knew this, and that I was greater than the drugs. Or so I decided I'm not doing it no more. So I, you know, like a chameleon, I said, yeah, I took my tablets and kept quiet, never mentioned the dead anymore. However, there is another experience of around that time. Back in the day, Chris, they didn't have, well, apparently, they didn't have computers. And I recall being with other children. Now, some people say it's ET. Some people say, I don't know. Mary Wadwell suggested to me it was my lab. I don't know. It's irrelevant to me now, but I'm saying. I remember being sat in front of a computer and the being saying, and it was psychic testing. They were testing children for the gifts, what they could and couldn't do. And I'd obviously been on the radar, and the beings had said to me, fail. So I listened, and I didn't pass the test. I pretended I didn't know what was coming. So I had experiences like that at the same time. Don't know where that's from, and it's irrelevant now for where I am now, but I had those experiences at the same time. And I am aware of other people of my age in the same area in London. I was made aware later on in life, others had spoke about the same testing. So who knows?
Wow. No big deal. Now, I was talking to Ryder yesterday about how there's so many people who experienced a shift in consciousness around the time of 2012 for some reason. Mm-hmm. I myself had this shift in consciousness, just something kind of clicked, and I just started, you know, being curious. I started wanting to wake up. I started wanting to better myself, change my life. And this happened to so many people that I know, and I hear accounts all the time of this same time period. I would like to get your take and thoughts on this. And if you did you have any shifts in awareness or downloads or anything during this time as well?
I mean, I thought I started painting my sacred geometry at 2012, because I know the a massive shift was in 2012 for me. But my art started to change. I think I found a massive, my art was around about 2010, where the art changed first. But 2012 was when I was shown again by the beings, more of the sacred geometry. And for the first time ever, the experience of being on a craft, going through the walls, being shown the universe, being shown possible outcomes, the potentiality of timelines. So I had a lot of that. My mediumship heightened extremely for some unknown reason. So at that point, at the same time, the tools that I'd come in with were heightened, really heightened, or tuned in, or being tuned in. But it was for a period of time. So 2012 was a definite for me, absolutely definite. I become more mathematical. I had equations I didn't know what they were from downloads, you can get blackboard roll and stick it on your walls. In my front room, my kids saw it, and I was doing these astrophysics. I had no idea what I was doing, but I thought it was art. I was doing art everywhere. I was into grid lines, into ley lines, into, I was watching earthquakes. I was doing solar flares. I went through this crazy, everyone thought I was more than insane. That it was. So yes, I had masses of information come in on that 2012 period. Yes, definitely.
Yeah. I want to go back to a second. For a second to what you were saying about the possibility of being taken by maybe some human faction to do psychic testing or some other type of maybe experiments. Now, I've heard many times people's experiences with, you call them my lab abductions, are often negative experiences. And you said all the experiences that you know for sure were with what we'll call ET for now, were positive experiences. Mm-hmm. And this is also common. So I'm wondering if the experiences that people are having where they're horrifying negative, being experimented on, all these negative occurrences are just primarily us doing this to each other under the guise of extraterrestrials, which I think is the case for a lot of what we're seeing today, especially with craft, anything physical with the phenomenon, any kind of evidence. And that's what's being pushed into the consciousness of people is, you know, this is more of a physical and material type of phenomenon. What do you think about that?
Well, that's a multifaceted question. So that's not an easy one, is it, Chris? All right. Well, so I will have to pay you back, you bastard. have you heard of Project Looking Glass?
Yes.
Okay. Now, the reason I bring that up is I don't go researching this stuff, but it's an analogy. I very rarely talk about this stuff, Chris. So I don't know why you're getting out of me. All right. You're naughty, naughty,
oh boy,
Chris.
Oh boy.
I know. I want to take that to a new level, okay? Now, I deal with the first part of your question, those that have ET experience that they perceive to be negative. Well, that's their individual experience. That's none of my business, and I can't judge them or say it's wrong or right, okay? I can say if you can reference it to, I was given the skills to come in to deal with the horrors of humanity. And when I mean horrors to a child, it's horrors. So I've come in and experienced the polarity through that experience. Maybe that's why when I had the dimensional beings, the higher frequency beings, or the ET gray beings or blue beings, maybe I didn't need to experience any more of that. Going back to those that have, and if I get lost, remind me of the question if you can remember it, because there were so many questions again in one. When I go back to the others that have the negative, what they perceive to be negative, I understand that. How can I put this with being sensitive? I spoke to someone the other day that has had an ET experience, and it could have been perceived as a negative. But when I spoke to them, how did it make you feel first? Forget the experience. Forget what happened. What rose in you? And they said, I don't like to be controlled. So awareness come, they needed to work on themselves. The experience had come only for them to work on the control. Let go, you can't control. To allow, not surrender, to be submissive or comply, but it was about the control. And when comes control, then come the anger, the rage, the storm. So for other experience beings that experience trauma, I've experienced what one would deem some of the worst type of experience of trauma. most will say experiences that have experienced it in hindsight they now see the benefit of it because they've done the work and they've realized. I give you the analogy of giving birth, do I not? Yes. You go and give birth, you're being tortured to death. Any woman that's given birth knows there is no pain like birth. And you go through all of that until you just want to die. And sometimes you do with the physical, the body can't take anymore and to bring new life. So I can only give analogies. I cannot speak on the behalf of other beings mm-hmm. whose experience, only for my personal self. I do think, though, in myself, I was prepared. I was being shown murder. I was being shown killing. I was being shown torture. Mm. I was, another one. I was shown, I was with these beings, and they weren't ET. They were beings, dimensional higher. And I was shown how the shift will affect the consciousness. And I've already decided earlier on, I said, I must mention this, it's time. And then I forgot, but it's just been put back in my head. And this shift that's happening, I've digressed slightly, but I've got to bring this experience in, and compelled to bring it in. I was shown a male torturer and a female in chains. And she was being tortured, and I was observing this, and then I experienced the shift in the consciousness. The chains dropped. The male torturer, his whole demeanor awoke, and she awoke, and there was an, I can't explain, articulate, or describe, they both had this awakening. It was a dream. I never understood it at the time, Chris, when I had it. And I was in joy that there was no bad, there was no good, there was no, and it was the human experience. And I'd had this like training to come in for this time to experience that type of torture. Yeah. Myself, I'd already had that sort of type of stuff, but I saw the shift, and it wasn't till later on I realized, you know, what I was being shown was again the role of humanity, the human experience. Does that make sense? Now, I forgot about it, but it's just come in again. So that's the type of experiences I would have. So maybe it wasn't on my soul's journey or my higher self journey or my spirit's journey, it was another part of consciousness to experience that.
Yeah, that's a very interesting and unique experience. I've not heard anything quite like that before, but that's what I love about this phenomenon. It's so personal to each person. But I want to go back to a second to the negative aspects of it. And you're right, the more people that kind of do some introspective look at what happened to them, and the more they research their own experiences, a lot of people come to find it's a positive experience. What I'm kind of referring to is the more, I guess, experiences that have that touch of human element where, there may be a gray there may be a mantis there, you look over, but there's also a dude in a military outfit in the corner, and you don't feel as, you know, at peace with these beings, and it's not a comfortable, nice experience, and nothing is positive about it, but there's always this human element to those type experiences.
I
think that there is a connection to what we're doing with possibly maybe some of these entities, possibly not. Maybe it's just us. Maybe we acquired some technology and we're using it as some type of psychological operation. But I think it's also connected to what we're trying to put into, what they're trying to put into human consciousness as ET's a physical, just purely physical thing.
Right. You know, let's go back now, because I did digress, but I needed to share that. Okay.
Yes, that was great.
That's a positive what I shared. Project Looking Glass, I know it. All of you guys out there, research, are into it. This is consciousness playing the role in the polarity in the play of form. So let's say there are conscious beings that did experiments with Homo sapiens sapiens, let's go to the Homo sapiens sapiens children who were precogging, psychic, and they did multiple experiments so they could see into the future. When they saw into the future, every timeline they went down, and this is more truthful than fiction, even if you don't even know about Project Looking Glass, it is actually very similar. They come with the same outcome. Consciousness, you don't stop it. It will not stop, because even those are conscious beings. And so the whole game at the end, the play now, and the last 70 years especially, is whether you use ET or my lab, it doesn't really matter. They're trying to stop something they don't need to stop. It's the analogy of the two chess players, okay? Me and you are watching these two fantastic, world-renowned chess players, and they got seven moves left, and we don't know the ending, but the two chess players know. One chess player knows, fuck, I've lost. And so, you know, and the other chess player's going, I gotcha. But the one who knows he's lost, he's going to try any way to drag it out. If I do that little move, I'll make it go longer and longer and longer. Does that give an answer to your question?
It does, yeah. And that makes a lot of sense. And I think that can apply to a lot of what we're seeing.
Yeah, that's what we're seeing now. That's what we've been seeing for 70 years.
Yeah.
Don't focus on is it Homo sapien, is it ET? It's all consciousness in different form. It's the game's up. I keep saying to you and others,
I love that analogy. I really love that chess analogy. It describes perfectly the reality we're experiencing right now.
You know, on seven, you've got seven moves.
Yeah.
The loser knows, but he's not going to go, fuck it, and throw the, you know, he's going to, oh, I'm going to get you that way. I wonder if, and so we're just experiencing that. But the audience, which is humanity, as believing, oh my God, it's still on. Oh my God, I picked that side. No, I picked that side. I'm gonna go, but it's done. It's over.
Yes.
It's finished.
Now, I've had a sense of the only intuition that I could knowingly remember as a child. You know, I'm sure I've had others, you know, instances of high strangeness growing up or missing time. I know I've had missing time. I just, you know, I just assume lots of kids did. But the one thing that always stuck with me growing up is I've always had this overwhelming feeling that I would be living in times of extreme high strangeness, living in times that people have not seen for thousands and thousands of years, seeing things that people have never seen before, because it of the time period that I was born into, you know, just because I incarnated during this time period, and I would witness some crazy stuff along with everyone else that incarnated with me on this planet at the same time. And I could never shake that feeling. It was always with me, still is. And even after, you know, I had my contact experiences and things kind of blew open for me with my intuition, that became stronger. And I'm wondering if you've had the same type of feeling or, you know, can speak to that.
Yes, yes, yes. I'm going to be evil. Yes. You want me to expand, don't you?
I do. Expand, yes. Expand.
Expand, expand. Absolutely, yes. As I said, I didn't understand, but I knew as a child from the two realities I was in, and I didn't fit in. I even thought my parents, quite rightly, weren't my parents, because if you go to the true self, they're not. They're just playing the role as your parents. Fully aware. And also, did you find that when you were young, you were superhero?
Oh my God, all the time. I had a cape on like 80% of the damn time.
I want you to know, I used this is not a sad story, but I spend most of my existence in a bedroom that I never come out. No carpet, no nothing. But so I used to go off places. I saved the world so many times as a child. Unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
You notice the traits. You're a superhero. You're going to save the world. You don't understand, but you know you're more than what's going on, and you're going to do good. But before you do the good, for some unknown reason, you have to go and experience sex, drugs, rock and roll, and all of the... You have to.
Yes.
Now, I didn't, because I already came into it. I experienced the alcohol, but the rest, it didn't. And I think because my experience was different. And you've come in, and so you've got the drugs and all the ramifications. You've got the sex and all the ramifications, the STDs or babies or the girlfriend beating you up or stopping you fine. You're going for all these human emotions, all the worst addictive, and you need to experience that. This is the point of it. But then one day you just... And as if someone's gone, I've had enough, I'm bored of that. Right, come on, let's try something else. But you're not consciously aware that you're on this experiential journey, but you still know, and you're scared to say who you are. You know who you are, Chris. Every being on this earth, even the arseholes deep down inside, know who they are. They know it's a game. They know, or they know something's not right, but they're scared to say who they are. So it's yes, 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 yes to everything you just said.
Yes, and you touched on something that we need to touch on, and that's being scared or fear,
yeah.
Which
mm-hmm.
is the biggest inhibitor and mm-hmm. blinder and cause mm-hmm. of probably all the problems that we're witnessing right now. Is people being afraid, and it's been weaponized lately to keep this mm-hmm. chess game, like you're mm-hmm. saying, going. Mm-hmm. You know, being afraid to lose this chess game, and then, you know, being afraid to lose your livelihood, not travel, mm-hmm. all the things that people are afraid of nowadays. Mm-hmm. But we kind of discussed this. I don't remember what episode or what show we were talking about fear. If we could, first of all, lose the ultimate fear of death. That yeah. would be, you know, step number one, huge, a huge start. And then all mm-hmm. the other things that we don't need to be afraid of. Why? Because basically, this is just a ride. We're just here for a little ride. Yeah. We'll, you know, yeah. we'll come on another one, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I was talking recently to others, okay? Let's talk about fear. Yeah, there is a fear of death. If you've had the experience of near death, or any of those, or an awakening event, you don't fear the death, okay? But that's not everybody, okay? As I said, I come in differently. I come into the fear. I didn't know anything. There was no love at that point. There was only me and the beings. Okay, there's other things to fear. Well, what's happening now, this fear, is... How can I articulate this? Help me out, guys. You know, I told you in the very beginning, I was being showing, for example, how to play the human being, the workings, the mechanics of interaction, you know, to how murder was committed, how you could fall in love, what it really meant when you start. So you have these fears are part of the human experience. We've come in to experience this fear, this limitedness and this fear. And that's the whole point. I wish you wouldn't be here. However, there are many different types of fear that are part of the human manuscript, the script. So for example, Chris, how can I find an analogy for this one? Help me out. Right, a human concept is, okay.
I know, it's hard to think of a human concept when
human concept that I can break it down.
Uh-huh.
God, this is, because this is, this is, you're talking from an intangible expression of itself. It would be, okay, let me go back. I was being shown to be a human being, how anger, someone would offend me, the opposite. This is a human construct. And then I was to retaliate back. It wasn't me, it was the two. I was being shown this. And then what would happen next? Like psychology, what would happen next? What would happen next until the ultimate crime? Well, we all still fall in, we're all made up because we're connected to the matrix, this is so hard, and to the simulation to feed the information back of the experience. Okay, if we want to go to the, if we want to go on Zoom on a live show with Chris Matthew, part of the human belief system is do not pick your nose. I'm being serious here. I'm trying to find a way. It's right, not acceptable. Right. Human, yeah. Or don't tell Chris to fuck off. Or don't come on drunk or on drugs. You have to open a door for this. Or you have to say yes, sir, for that. You have to obey. You have to listen to your parents. All of this is part of the human script. We have all gone through the human script. I know I've killed it, but I'm trying to explain something that's unexplainable. And we've got the script within us. So what's going to happen now? We're going to experience playing another role, okay? Whatever that is. So we need to ditch the human script. So, you know, we wrote the script. We did it before we come in. This is how we're going to act, go back, turn right, turn left, a bit like any movie you watch. It's scripted. We're now deconstructing that. So here comes one. I must be nice to Chris Matthew, because if I tell him to fuck off, you bastard, then I may not be on his network. There's a fear there, Chris. Do you get the fear? Yeah. I must do a certain thing or I can't go fly in an aeroplane. That's a human concept. Mm-hmm. It's not a divine being. It's not consciousness talking. So you've got your individual choice. People think it's just fear as in fear, I'm going to die. No, it's not just that. It's you cannot go and see your family unless you do this. Well, a human concept would comply because they feel, oh my God, I'd feel so guilty if I didn't go and see my family. Guilt is a human concept. Shame is a human concept. Obedience is a human concept. Judgment is a human, I can go on forever. Does that answer your question, Chris? Does it?
Yes. Yes, it does. It makes a lot of sense. Gosh darn it, Gloria, why do you have to make so much sense every time? You know, I think that another aspect that is putting people in fear right now is the quickening of everything and the quickening of probably their own self-realization may be scaring them as well, because it's so blatantly obvious, it's so ridiculous, some of the things that are occurring right in front of everyone's eyes that are, you know, it's like you said, it's consciousness popping itself off to get itself to wake up, you know? All these things, these blatant fireworks that are happening in front of people to get them to that spark of consciousness to wake up and them to, you know, follow suit and join the right team or join the left team or whatever you want to do, but make this decision. I think that this quickening and everything happening so fast and people seeing that there's something more than this physical life may be also putting a little fear into people and causing a lot of the collective anxiety possibly that we're feeling right now. What are your thoughts on that?
Okay. As I spoke about on the single individual consciousness doing the work on itself, its fears, no matter where you are. So all of the, what you're witnessing in your reality. Here we go again. How do we do that? Help me out, guys.
Oh man, I got a challenged Gloria today. Woo!
Oh, fucking going to kill you one of these days. I know how to kill someone, you know, and not get blamed.
All right.
The consciousness is complete. It has completed. However, I will continue with the narrative of the Homo sapiens sapien. Consciousness is at the end of its hero's journey. Each individual being is still the one, but it's on its hero's journey, where it is attracting to itself, which the reality creates, things that are going to press its buttons. It's going to come up. It's like the birthing, yeah? And it's pushing and pushing. So every individual person in fear, that the illusionary fear that they perceive they're in, they think they don't have a choice because they're programmed correctly in the matrix, in this experience, that they don't have a choice. But now the consciousness, Christ consciousness, God consciousness, whatever you choose to call your essence, your soul, your spirit, it's not the individual identity being named person, Chris, Gloria, Ryder, or any Tom, Dick, and Harry. It's the consciousness inside is awakening to know thyself. I am not this identity. But for that to happen, it has to create, because there is only consciousness, the illusion for something to push it to awaken to itself. Did that answer your question? And do you want me to expand upon it?
No, that was excellent. But you can sure always expand if you want. We're all about expanding here. What? We're all about it.
No, you're naughty. No, you tricked me. You're naughty, naughty. I had something come to me this afternoon. Is he will speak about? He would touch on. He would try to touch on, because everyone wants to know what is actually fucking happening. We're all talking about consciousness is awakening, and we're all trying to articulate something that is so intangible and so unspeakable. And that's who we are. We're trying to go where the Homo sapiens sapien has never had to. The mind can't rationalize, because it's programmed in to the human experience. So on the back of that, from my truth, this is going to be like crazy bitch stuff, and from others, but from my truth, what's coming? It's nothing like the limited human consciousness could ever imagine, fantasize, sci-fi films, or it's not in the human concept. What is happening now and what is just in the now, there will be an illusionary fear enveloping humanity. Remember, the operative word is illusionary. This illusionary fear will come multifaceted. It could be anything from the solar system, an ET, I don't know, the Black Death, or concentration camps, or it's open. Consciousness, how do I put this? All timelines, or parallel universes, worlds, everything, because the whole of consciousness, the universes, the parallel universes, the ET, the dead, the beings, the high, the low, underground people, everything, trees. It's not just the Homo sapiens sapien that's shifting into a different timeline. Everything it follows in the quantum world shifts with it at the same time. So we are seeing what's coming or what we're witnessing, but there will be, and I stress, illusionary fear. Do not fear, okay? Don't fear. It's like, say I'm a being, a one source being, and I fractalize out in the holographic universe in shards everywhere, in billions and trillions and zillions and whatever the next one is, I don't know. And in each shard is the whole of the experience, okay? Gone. So that's an analogy of the consciousness experience. What's happening now is each of them shards are coming in, coming back, coming into the one. And as it comes in, it's still in a 3D, how do I get this out? Polarity. It's created like a virus, excuse the pun. Oh God, I didn't mean it that way. Not that one.
Right.
No, in a computer. I said that wrong word. I'm trying to find it. And it's created it as it comes back, the mechanics in this matrix, it's coming back in to attack. However, I need to stress, we, the likes of us, are the hackers to this holographic matrix. We're the hackers. We're hacking in. We are hacking. We are, you could say whistleblowing. You could say whatever. We're hacking in. So this is happening now. As this occurs now, individual conscious being, depending on their awareness, will experience exactly what they need to experience. However, there's seven moves left and the game is won. Don't take it serious. I can't say it's coming because it's here now, done. But it's okay. It is really okay.
You know, that's just what I was about to say. You said, you know, the game's won, yes. You know, we're a few moves ahead. Basically, all we have to do now is sit back, relax, and enjoy the show, right? I mean,
yeah.
Nothing to worry
about. There's no other way. What you have to do, no matter where you are in this human experience, okay? Turn off your TV, experience your own life. When you have to interact. Yes, it doesn't mean you sit down and you're complacent. You need to speak out. You need to go to other human beings, be compassionate and kind and loving.
Well, I think people are also being drawn to their calling right now. And
yes,
that's another thing people need to do.
Yeah. Yeah. You still, those that are aware that's going on, I'm talking about, those that are aware, for the past 70 years, there's been beings on this earth and coming in the 50s and in the 60s, I think the 40s, especially coming in to pave the way for now. And this is it. It's a spiritual apocalypse, not human apocalypse. It's a spiritual consciousness to come back in to know thyself. But the only way consciousness can experience the human experience is from the polarity, what the illusion is of evil and good. Does that make sense? Or would you like
it
me
does.
To expand on it?
Oh, you don't have to. I won't make you expand anymore, Gloria. That was really a great example. And I think that, we're living in some very extremely important times. And what I do is I just I don't participate in the nonsense, you know. I do what I feel I'm supposed to do in my incarnation here, and whatever else is BS.
You know, you have a purpose. You get to the point. You know you have a purpose. You don't know what it is. You know you're. I don't want to say the identity has a purpose. Let's go to call it a soul then. So there's, or consciousness or God, whatever. We're unique frequencies of consciousness, okay? Now, if you could, you know, like you can hear the frequency of plants, you can hear the frequency of the planets, they all ring at different hertz. Well, each one of us, if we heard our own frequency, is the most beautiful, angelic, divine frequency. So we're all at a hertz frequency, part of the mathematical construct. We're all unique, and we have, you can call it a purpose, you can call it a mission, but we've come in to experience the human experience. That's it. Don't get attached to it. And if you can go into that and have that awareness, I'm not this limited meat body. I am consciousness, a soul, a child of God, Christ consciousness, whatever your heart resonates with. I am more than that. And I'm not religious, but I always go back to what the man Jesus stated. For those that have that connection, heaven is within. Heaven is within. Every statement was go within, go within. He stated, and it's still in the scriptures, you are the gods. You are the gods. If you go to, no matter what anyone says, anyone, it's been misconstrued, whoever wrote it didn't write it. If you change the way you look at things without judgment, the things you look at change. If you go back in your own life, there's always been like a carrot, like Hansel and Gretel, guiding you along, synchronistic. There's always been, because consciousness never is asleep. Even though we say we've got amnesia, it is never asleep. It masks itself, but there's always been little trinkets for to say, know thyself. Judge another as you judge yourself. It's always about coming in. And so it's always been there through Aristotle, Plato, all of the great philosophers. It's always been there, the gods. I mean, I don't know, you could be Zeus. You could be Zeus coming back to end it, you know? It could be the Greek gods. What a fucking play. What a performance. Yeah?
Right.
Yeah. We are all, everybody is a magnificent being. You just need to get your identity out of the way and allow it to come through. Yes, you've got to keep working. Yes, you need to deal with your shit, your judgments, your biases, your bigotness. I know better than you. That's why the likes of me and you and Ryder, we invite people on our shows to share their truth, because we don't judge their truth. We see them as a unique being. It's their experience. It's their truth. And they have a right to express it. So we're breaking the human concepts here. You would have noticed the consciousness at the moment is trying to say, divide, seven moves left, divide, divide, hate each other. You know, us against, no. And it's the likes of your show that you're doing exactly what you've been chosen, or you chose, or your frequency is adhering to. Because there is no personal choice, it's the frequency of the soul is doing exactly what it should, to unite, to bring the shards in the holographic universe back into a whole of one. Where we go there, who knows?
Right, who and knows? It's like you tell me many times, we are the gods. Glory.
We are the gods. I mean, there's anything and all things are true. I have an understanding that a lot of us, I know this sounds really weird, but even I can't get my head around it, but I have a knowing that a lot of us have come from the future, or there is no future per se, but you know what I'm saying. I've come from the future, or we are the ET coming back to in human form to assist, because the beings have not realized the seven moves left.
Yes.
So get them on the podcast, get them on the show, get in the conversation, get it out there. And you, and all timelines are coming into the now, to the one. That's why we get more experiences coming up. That's why we're getting the anomalies happening. I saw something today that's, I know it didn't about in your country, but they're always putting out the fear. We had a thing come on, when I went on my phone, this thing flashed up, warning, with a big triangle in UK. The solar flare is the closest, and it was, and I just saw it and ignored it. Yeah. It's coming, and it's going to come in a way that we would not perceive. Watch the ego. What the ego in the beings that are not aware, this is not judgment, but recognize it in yourself. I told you, didn't I? I've been researching this shit for 30 years. I told you it's going to happen. Yeah. Fuck off. Instead of saying how right you were, what are you going to do about it? You know, wake up. Yeah. That I told you is an ego construct.
Yes.
It's a case of, you're going to see that they're going, and what it is, they are becoming, their individual frequency is becoming aware that they're not what they thought they were. This reality is not what I think it is. Look what we got. The education system is crumbling. The political system is crumbling. Many countries now are pulling out of the mandatory bits. It's just stopping. Airline pilots are not flying planes because they're not, I've had enough. Yeah. They're every individual frequency that's connected in this super duper computer matrix has been hacked by the hackers, like us and a load of other. Mm. Okay, sharing, researching, bringing it out. Hacked. We don't need to know about our history no more, because it was a load of BS anyway. Okay? Fucks. It was constructed, and we were told it was this way, and it was nothing like it. Okay? So we just let that go. We're in the now, and now we're seeing that. I've always spoken about the deconstruction of the human experience, because we've all been doing that, because if consciousness wants to wake up, it will awaken. Nothing or no one can stop it. And we're seeing like the pilots going, no, not doing that. I'm bored with this reality. They don't know why they're not doing it.
Yeah.
Because it's not the identity, it's the consciousness is awakening. Countries are saying, no more, I've had enough. I've had enough. You know, I can't do this no more. And it's that's the quickening you're experiencing.
Yep.
And, it's what is hidden will be revealed. Even the channelers have been coming in for 40 years with that. What is hidden will be revealed.
Yes.
What is hidden is the true construct of who you are, the true essence, the magnificent being every individual being is. These beings on the other realms, the illusionary realms, is part of the play. They know who they are. They have no fear. They have no human concept. We don't have to line them up. They have no human concept. They don't have time. You would have noticed many are talking about time's disappearing or time speeding up, yeah? because the construct of time is breaking down and deconstructing. Time is for the human experience. Gravitational pull is for the human experience. All the Newtonian laws you need to comply for the human experience. However, experiences that astral travel, that go on to other planets, break and fractalize the whole of the hologram. So seven moves left, that's all. Seven, there's no timeline on it. As soon as you do the more, no, as soon as you realize who you truly are, and the more you do the work on that, you only have to be slightly, once, I will say, once the venom's in, whoa, you have that awakening, the first, there's no stopping it. Then your external reality will change, and it will change differently each 7 billion Homo sapiens on this planet, even the arseholes. Once it shifts, if consciousness awakes in Chris Matthew, it's by default. The other 7 billion nearly, because I can't do math, it's got to awaken at the same time, because it's one. You need one. You do not need 144 fucking thousand. You do not need whatever number people come out with. It's not the beings, it's the consciousness. Should I shut up now? Because you just got me on a roll.
No, that was perfect. That was beautiful. Man, Gloria, I want to thank you so much for coming on today. The information that comes out during these podcasts is fantastic, and I'm sure it creates a little spark in people's thinking and consciousness.
I mean, I just want to say it's my truth from a lifetime of experience. If any of it resonates with you, take it. And if it doesn't resonate with you, put it in, you know, your handbag or your man bag, whatever, and leave it to one side. But please, don't take life too serious. It's not what you think it is.
Yes, 100%.
You're in a dream. You're experiencing a dream. And you're playing a character and you really think you're it. I was the best. I argued, you know, with Sonia, me and Sonia on the podcast. I said, I'm getting the best Oscar. She said, no, you're not. I'm getting it. Because I did the best role. I played the victim better than you, you know. Don't take life too seriously, because you cannot die. Energy cannot die. The physical aspect will dissipate. So what? You'll take on another shape and form of your choice. Energy cannot die. So there is nothing to fear. Nothing at all. Not even Chris Matthew.
No, not even me. Gloria, thank you for coming on. That was great. You got a new episode of Inception coming out tomorrow, right?
Yes, I have. And tomorrow, the new Inception is the one and only amazing. I love her to bits. Tiffany Mack tomorrow. Tiffany. I love her to bits. I'm not sure about Friday, but I've already spoken to Tiffany and said, I've got to let you out tomorrow because her conversation on the podcast was just like wonderful. She's a beautiful being and so inspirational. And she's just so lovely. So I've already, tomorrow, Inception Podcast, Tiffany Mack, you need to listen to her tomorrow and her truth, and it's beautiful, and I loved it. So, yeah.
Awesome.
And, that's about it, really. Mm-hmm. I can't think of anything else. I'm not going to say nothing nice about you because you tricked me into questions.
Hey, that's my job, but it was wonderful. The results were beautiful. Gloria, thank you so much for coming on. We're going to have you back. I'll trick you again. We'll get you some more hard questions for the next time.
Yeah. You take care. Bye, guys.
Bye. Until next time, everyone. Have an excellent evening. We'll talk again tomorrow.